An evening of lively, smart conversation and jazz. Join me, John Williams, for a live taping of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Robert's Pizza, and Jazz, Wednesday, June 12th, 6 to 8 at Winter's Jazz Club in Streeterville. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/rascals.
Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscaping Company in Wheeling. Hi, Bob. Welcome back.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back.
Last you were on was a 70-degree day in February, I think it was, or early March.
I think it was.
And everything was popping up, and it still has been growing pretty quickly this spring, and now we're seeing temperatures consistently in the 60s, so it's game on, right, Bob? Everything I want to do, I can do now?
Yes, it's game on. I totally agree. You look at the long-range forecast, and I'm not going to say there's not a potential for a frost, but I don't think you're going to see any hard freezes that can really do some damage.
Okay, so about my yard then, what do I do now?
Well, now is the time to get going with the first application of fertilizer, and you want to make sure you use something that has the pre-emergent crabgrass control, unless, of course, you're going to be doing seeding, because if you're going to be doing seeding and you use a pre-emergent control, it's going to also keep your good seeds from germinating as well. So if you're planning on seeding, go ahead and just use a nice starter fertilizer. There's a bunch of them out there at the garden centers, and you know they come out with a new flavor of the year every spring. So just read the label, and it'll guide you through the process.
Well, for those of us who have weeds and creeping Charlie and dandelions and all that stuff that come up big time in our lawns, then we should do what now?
Well, I just saw the first dandelions starting to pop this week, and they're usually the first ones to come out. You want to spray, I personally like the liquid over the granular for broadleaf weeds. Otherwise, you have to, if you try and use a granular, the grass has to be wet, so sometimes you have to water before you use it because you need the herbicide to stick to the plant. Whereas if you use a liquid, you're spraying it right on the leaf, so the leaf, it'll translocate through the plant for sure because you're using the liquid. And go ahead and start spraying your dandelions now, but those are easy to control. The ones that are the hard ones, like you mentioned, Creeping Charlie, those have not started blooming yet. When you start seeing those little purple flowers, that's the one you want to hit it with the herbicide and then come back 2 weeks later and hit it again because you'll wilt it, but you won't eradicate it unless you hit it twice.
I've seen those purple flowers around.
More is not better.
No,
more than what they tell you to put in.
Really?
If it says 3 ounces, put in 3 ounces. 5 is not going to help.
Okay. So do you just spray that over the whole of your lawn or just spot where you think the Creeping Charlie's going to be?
It depends how bad it is. Creeping Charlie, with the word in it, creeping, it's going, if you look closely and you scout and you look very closely to where it is going, you'll see that it grows on stolons and it'll be under the grass. So look closely. I prefer spot spraying, but if it's really bad, just go ahead and blanket the turf and you'll knock out the dandelions, the clover, the Creeping Charlie, anything else that's showing its face right now.
Right. Okay. But then you say come back 2 weeks later and do it again, right?
Do it to the Creeping Charlie areas. I wouldn't go, if you're just spraying for dandelions, one shot should knock those out. Like, I'm not saying to do a blanket application 2 weeks later, just on the hard-to-control weeds like Creeping Charlie. That's one that we always seem to get the calls on the most.
Got it. And is the stuff that's going to kill the dandelions the same stuff that kills these other things, like the Creeping Charlie?
It is, but if you read the labels, there are some herbicides that are, they just don't have the punch to them. So you want to make sure it's labeled for Creeping Charlie, which is also called ground ivy. So if you don't see Creeping Charlie, you'll see ground ivy. Then it's labeled for that plant, and it will eradicate it.
But then if I put that stuff down, then I can't be putting seed down or even fertilizer down now, right?
You can put down fertilizer.
Oh, I can at the same time.
Right. If you put down the herbicide for broadleaf weeds, you're actually going to be okay. You might want to just wait a couple of days or maybe a week because those herbicides are designed to attack broadleaf weeds. Well, you're planting grass seed. The only thing with and grass seed is a grassy weed. It's a different chemistry. But when you want to be careful is when you seed first and then the seedlings come up and you hit it with the herbicide going after dandelions and Creeping Charlie, because it's such a tender plant, mm-hmm. It will have a negative reaction to that herbicide, even though it's not labeled to kill grass.
Yeah.
It's like anything else. When something is so young and small and tender, you put anything near it, it could knock it out. So
right. If
you've already seeded and the seeds are starting to germinate and come up, then hold off on your herbicide until that seed gets a little more established.
Well, so many of the lawns look so good now because we've had nice weather and we've had a lot of rain. So everybody's lawn, I think, is looking pretty good. It's happening. So then you say, okay, if you want to put down your weed killers you've described, go ahead. But more or less at the same time, we can go ahead and put down that first application of fertilizer also.
Yes.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Sound like you had something else to say there, Mr. Bertog.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you put down the fertilizer, but you want to first, like, do your spring cleanup. You want to rake up the debris and the excess thatch and stuff that's on the surface. You know, don't just think that the fertilizer is going to be a miracle and you're just going to have a great stand of turf. You got to put a little TLC into it along with the before you put down the fertilizer.
So get the rake and really scrape up all of that stuff that's been sitting there for the last few months. Okay, 312-981-7200. You got a question for Bob? I'll bet you do. All our lines are busy and lots of text messages too. Bob, you ready to start?
Sure, let's do it.
Oh no, I put crabgrass fertilizer down. When can I seed, Bob? Thanks.
Ooh, bummer. Probably 4 to 5 weeks, depending on what brand you or what kind of pre-emergent you put down.
Really, you want us to wait that long because that...
Well, yeah, and what you could do is just start watering the heck out of it, and you'll flush that pre-emergent down through the thatch layer faster than if you just leave it alone. I mean, I just flood it out.
Janice is on line one. You're on WGN. Hi, Janice.
Hi. We bought a tree from Oak Lawn. It was a deal they had, and we planted it in November. And it come with all dead leaves on it. To this day, it's still got the dead leaves on it and no buds, no nothing. And Oak Lawn came out and said it looks fine.
What kind of tree is it, Janice?
I don't know. They had a deal on it. And, you know, for $100, they paid $100 and we paid $100. And they never said. They just gave us a tree.
Do you know if the tree's dead or not?
I don't, the leaves never, not one leaf fell off.
All right, Bobby.
And they're all dead. The leaves are all dead.
What do you think, Bob?
Well, it's not a good sign. If we knew what kind of tree it was, there are some pear trees that are still holding on to some leaves and some oak trees. But what you want to do is just go and take one of the branches where it's a softer bark and scratch it back and see if there's green behind the bark. If there's no green, it's dead. Because right now you should be able to see green tissue.
Okay, they just said it wasn't dead, but this is the second tree they gave me that died in the same spot.
This is a Monty Python skit, but it wasn't a tree. So, but I've done that. I had some plantings, get a load of this, Janice, that were put in October, and they haven't been doing anything. So I took one of the little branches, and I broke it in half, and there was green in there. And I thought, I think this is just a late comer. So do what Bob said and then get back to us, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck to you. Kathy, you're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi.
Hi. My yard is very bumpy, and I was contemplating having it rolled, but then I went online, and they said, really, that's not good for it. So should I have it just aerated?
I got the same thing. It's really uneven, little divots here and there. What do you think, Bob? What should we do?
You're going to get a lot better results with the aeration. By running a rollover, all you're going to do is compact it more, and it's actually going to bring stones and stuff you don't want it to the surface. It's going to push the soil down, and the other stuff's going to come to the surface. You could always do an overdressing with a top dressing of topsoil, sand, and compost, and then rake it over the grass, and it kind of fills in those divot areas. But a core aeration is that's all you want to do the core aeration for sure.
Okay, Kathy, good luck to you on that. Yeah, I got to get more of that stuff out there this year. Creeping Charlie is blooming purple all over DuPage now, says one of our listeners. And another one said, how short should I cut my grass for this first cutting?
You're still safe if you're 2.5 inches, but 2 to 2.5 is fine right now. But don't be doing that too much longer, especially if these temperatures start to go up. You want that grass to grow, and then you're going to keep the canopy at about 3 inches all summer.
Some of us like our lawn a little tighter, Bob.
Well, you can, but you got to remember a grass blade is more water than anything else. So if you start keep cutting it short, you're going to either have to water a lot more, or you're going to stress out the turf. You know, unless you're running a golf course or what, then you can do that, and you have unlimited funds for water, then that's fine. But mostly the turf enjoys being at about 3 inches.
So if I leave it longer, then I'm going to have to water it less. That's better for the grass. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And then when you do mow it, you want to go by the 1/3 rule. You never want to cut off more than a third of the grass blade.
This is Lori with Bob Bertog. Hi, Lori. You're on the air.
Hi. So I'm wondering, what can I use on my lawn, in my yard, all that kind of thing, that will not hurt the plants, but that will kill all the cicada? I'm thinking a flamethrower, but that's not going to be good for the plants.
You know, I was going to recommend that. I know where you can get a flamethrower. I've got a lot of questions about this, like can we put a netting over our bushes and trees and whatnot? Bob, what advice do you have for us?
You can. You want to protect some of your more supple trees, like a small Japanese maple.
It's not so much even protecting the plants. I'm okay with that. I want to kill off the cicada. I hate them. It's like a horror movie.
Yeah. You need counseling is what you need.
Yeah.
But hold on a second, Lori. Let's let Bob talk. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, you're not gonna eradicate them. It's gonna be impossible. And if you do try and eradicate them, you have to remember anything you spray an insecticide, it's just gonna be temporary. There's gonna be trillions of cicadas. So you're not gonna eradicate them. And they actually are beneficial for the earth. There's natural aeration. They're gonna, when they lay their eggs, there's gonna be natural pruning because they're gonna kill some of the weaker branches of the trees.
Yeah.
And then when they burrow back down into the ground and they die, then it's natural nutrients for the trees that they're digging under.
So you're not suggesting,
unfortunately, it's something we got to live with.
A broad application of some sort of bug killer on the lawn. That's not.
Absolutely not.
And I have heard no one suggest that. But is there a netting I can put over bushes or anything like that, or plants, Bob? Should I do that?
You can. The cicadas are going to want to lay their eggs in more of the woody plants, so I wouldn't worry about the evergreens. But like I said, the smaller ornamentals, you know, a small magnolia or Japanese maple, you can wrap it in a – you want to use a fabric that's more like a wedding veil, where it's a real it's not a big opening. Like some people asked if they could use deer netting, but cicadas will get through the deer netting. That opening's too big. And I wouldn't go and buy, right now, if you go on Amazon, there's all these on sale now, cicada netting, blah, blah, blah. I would just go to the store and just get a bolt of the stuff, the fabric. You don't need to spend monies on gimmicks.
Jan is our last caller today. You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Jan?
I've been trying to get, thank you for taking my call. I've been trying to get rid of Canadian thistle, I believe I've identified, at my daughter's home. And I believe I found out if I pull it, it just creates more of a problem. Is that correct? And what can I do to get rid of it?
That's correct. If you pull it and you don't get the entire taproot, which can be down, you know, almost a foot and a half, it's just going to keep growing back. But again, we're going to go back to a method we talked about last year, because Canadian thistle is a very hard to control weed. You want to do that wicking, John, the one we talked about, where we put the mitt on, the wool mitt over rubber glove, and then you put the herbicide on the mitt, and then you just basically massage the Canadian thistle, and then the herbicide will translocate into the plant and kill it.
I did that, and afterwards I stood back and I said, "This'll take care of it." Thistle.
Did it work? Oh, cheese, sea joke.
All right. Bob, will you be able to join us with some regularity this spring, like you did last year?
Absolutely. Happy to.
Okay. Well, it's what do we got here? Today's Wednesday, and you've been on with us between 1 and 1:30. So let's advertise next Wednesday between 1 and 1:30. How does that sound?
Very good. I like it.
Thank you, Bob. We like you. That's Bob Bertog from the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling.